This is Elocution with your host, Elo Black.
This episode is a throwback to a podcast we used to do called The World of Science with Dr. Hans Berger. I did this show with a very dear friend of mine who is a licensed member of the medical community. However, Dr. Hans Berger is fictitious. Viewer discretion and sensibility are advised. Well, I mean, listener discretion, unless you watch this on YouTube. Anyways, please enjoy, be well, and above all, wash your hands. Thanks, pals. Hello, and welcome to the World of Science. I am your host, Genevieve Hochul Marcellus, and with us, as always, is the incomparable, the brilliant, our beacon of hope and truth, Dr. Hans Berger. Dr. Berger, thank you so much for being with us today.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Dr. Berger, we have so much to cover. Let's get started. First of all, Day of our broadcast is April 26, 2020. Since we last spoke, there are a total of 895,766 total diagnosed cases of COVID. Mm-hmm. That is 205,052 more than 7 days ago, April 18th. And we have had a total, and this is just in America, 50,439 total COVID deaths. That is 14,996 total deaths this week. 15,000 deaths from COVID-19. Dr. Berger, again, I ask you this every week. The numbers are climbing. They're not decreasing. Yeah, yeah. What is going on, Dr. Berger?
Oh, but they're such round, pretty numbers, the 2 and the 6 and the 9. But you have to take into consideration that the people with this going on, when you talk about the United States as a whole, take the 48 states, because no one cares about Alaska or Hawaii. So you take all the 48 states, you take all the hospitals that are open in the 48 states, and you take into consideration people that go in for a cough, people that go in for a sniffle, people that go in because they think, I've got the corona, I got to go to the hospital because my chest hurts and my booty hurts, I've got to see if I have the corona. So of course, more people that get these sniffles, these chills, or these booty problems are going to go to the hospital, therefore contributing to the accumulation of positive cases. And people are now starting to gather. They're starting to go out and spit in each other's faces, scream at the top of their lungs, drink water that they say, I am free to drink the shite water from the shite river, from the shite fishes that are shiting in the water. So there are more people getting more trips to the hospital that are testing positive that were not showing symptoms. So they're not going to go to the hospitals when they're showing symptoms, but now people may be showing symptoms and they're going to the hospital and, they got the COVID,
That makes a lot of sense. But Dr. Berger, there's been so many, let's call them people, that have been protesting and voicing that their liberty has been taken from them, their free will, their ability to go get their roots done at a beauty salon. And there's comparisons being made to other countries saying, like, for example, there was a report that Iceland left everything open. They just asked people that had fevers and chills to stay home for 14 days and they had better results. So Dr. Berger, what do you say to those that say America should treat the COVID virus more like the Icelandic people or those in the Baltic states that have far less population and probably cleaner air than America ever could dream about? What do you say to that?
Well, you know, with the topic of the liberties, each country has their own liberties. And I have to say, when we start comparing ourselves to other countries, I remember very, very distinctly that there was a group of people, perhaps it's the same people, in 2016, at the year of the election, is that, well, if the other country is so good, why don't you just go over there? But it's not that easy. For example, and I will come back to the Iceland, that's a very, very good example. Let's just take into consideration the apartheid weed of the 80s. Well, talk about taking people's liberties, especially at 3 o'clock in the morning when they just take a person out of their bed, away from their family, and they go kill them. Is anyone doing that during this pandemic? And if they do, how are they getting away with it? So this comparison of losing my liberties and squashing my rights, that is a very, very good conversation to have as to what rights are being squandered. You have the right to freedom of speech. You have the right to peacefully assemble. And apparently you have the right to bear arms when a virus is attacking the United States. Or depending how you use the word virus, it could be an orange virus. And women are still being able to vote. There is no slavery that was taken away. So it is a very, very good conversation to have about what constitutional rights are being taken away. Perhaps it's the constitutional rights of going to Chuck E. Cheese. So Iceland's very beautiful country. I have been there many, many times. And they have these lovely volcanoes and these lovely mountains that go miles and miles into the sky. So when you talk about Iceland, now I could be wrong, but it was a slow increase. And there was people that were able to get the testing. And you got to take into consideration the layout of Iceland. People are far apart. The Vikings live on the coast, but they're very, very separated by these glorious mountains, these fjords, and these riverways that the people do not live on top of each other. And their healthcare is not privatized. They are what they call it, the social medicine. Mm-hmm. So everybody takes care of everybody. Hence, they were able to test quite a bit. Now, you have to take into consideration, these were Vikings. These were people that sacrificed their babies. So, of course, they are going to take care of their people by getting them tested, following the same quarantine issues, and taking into consideration what needs to be taken into consideration. So, another thing, why the focus on just the Iceland? You know, there are other countries in Europe that have done very well. There's the country of Luxembourg, close to my home motherland of Germany, sure, where there was 3,723 cases, of which 3,104 have recovered, and only 88 deaths since the beginning of the coronavirus. That's food for thought. That's a European nation, as our friends in Iceland. How are they doing so well and not getting the recognition? Also, you got to think of the Faroe Islands off the coast of Iceland. 187 cases, 178 recovered, and zero deaths. Social distancing, especially in the middle of nowhere, works wonders. Perhaps we should think about that this probably was a great idea, no?
Yes, Dr. Berger, but my question is, we don't have the luxury of staying several miles apart from each other like they do in other countries and other areas, but why would one sacrifice their health to go get French tips at a nail salon at this time?
Ah, good question. You know, it harkens back to what we had talked to before about vanity. Vanity, whether you want to admit it or not, is very, very important to the psyche of the individual, particularly if they're realizing the person that they married is getting uglier and uglier as the roots are growing, as the foundation is expiring, and of course, as the hair is growing on their faces. But I will say is that this is a psychological issue. Our minds as humans have been conditioned to living in a society where there are rules, what we call governing. And in this governing, there are people who think they know more than others that say, no, I'm meant to be free, just like the Quakers in the 1700s that were free to shake and burn witches that weren't witches and kill Indians that weren't doing anything, and I steal the turkey. This is my country and not the country of whoever. Won't let me burn witches or steal turkey. I hope that helps.
Now, Dr. Berger, let me ask you this, going back to the Icelandic people of Luxembourg, how was it that their children didn't get diagnosed with COVID-19? I'm not saying they didn't have it. I'm saying they weren't diagnosed. But how is it that now children in America are not only contracting COVID-19, but they are also dying from it? It is a very serious situation. Dr. Berger, explain to me, are children carriers for COVID?
The children carry all the sickies in the world. world. That's why they get stuck with the needles so early, because we need to help them not get the sickies and get us sickies. So with the children, I will have to take a general stance on one particular issue. So when we talk about virus, and when we talk about the bacteria, we have to take into consideration that there could be mutations, there could be development. For example, we all know the staph infections, yeah?
Yes.
The skin, the staph infections. So first, it was just called staph. Oh, you have a staph infection, the Staphylococcus aureus, you have that staph infection. But then what bug popped up not too long ago? It goes by four letters, and they're very pretty letters. Do you know the staph infections that got the four letters?
Is it AIDS?
Oh, very close, but it is MRSA. The MRSA blew up in the healthcare world because what is it? It is methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, which is what? A mutation or a different strand of the Staphylococcus aureus. So when you go to Wuhan, and in the stories that China chose to share with the world about no children getting affected by this virus, do you honestly expect the virus to maintain its 36 figure as it races across the entire world? No, it's going to mutate into a 55 hourglass shape, and it's going to destroy more people or get more involved. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
I understand. So you're basically saying when someone has the virus, it can mutate after treatment with medicines or just the person's own immune system, and that mutation is different than the original diagnosed virus.
Yeah, they could be the same kinds of animal, but perhaps an animal with five legs or with six eyes. These mutations happen when they start affecting different kinds of people. They could start affecting animals because history or science has shown that we go back to the other four letters, the A, the I, the D, the F. With the AIDS started in the Congo with the monkey who has relationship to the Homo sapiens, no? There was something going on that there was ingestion or blood-on-blood contact, now that we know how the AIDS is transferred, that there was devouring or killing or an attack from a monkey onto a human, hence it was spread out, and it is one of the worst viral outbreaks in Africa and the United States, and perhaps worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Dr. Berger, tell me, going back to full liberties being restored, in the state of Georgia, the governor ordered, I believe, on April 20th, which was a Monday, that all stores reopen. I'm not sure about schools and other establishments like that, but all stores be open. People return to work. Dr. Berger, is that wise at this time, 6 days later?
Oh, well, yes. The peaches are getting a bit fuzzy, you know. It's time that they go back out into the sun and play. Well, I remember talking once ago that perhaps it is time to slowly open up more. However, the peak is actually occurring right now. We are supposed to be in the peak of the coronavirus. And once the hotelier in chief stated that the states are on their own to open up their state, each governor, mayor, however, took it into their hands to determine how they want to open up the state. With our friends in Georgia, he wanted to just mandate everyone open full force, go gung-ho, party hard. I'm not too sure it is the safest bet, but I can say that it is a very tactical, perhaps political event to deal with a looming economic financial crisis.
And that means, Dr. Berger, with the short-term loans that were given out, how is that going to affect small business in Georgia right now after they have just been awarded the recovery loans? Do they have to pay them back immediately, Dr. Berger, if they have a full-on staff working again?
Oh, that's a very, very good question. I'll try to answer as a scientist answers, but I will refer to the economists who know it better. But I do know that the small business loans, it's all loans that will eventually have to be returned. People thought it was free money. Nine, honey, that is not free money. This money you have to pay back, and you may have to pay back the interest. But once the small businesses had closed, they had to, or they could choose to file for temporary disruption of business. And their workers could file for unemployment because small business owners, as part of their commitment to unemployment benefits, it starts from the employee's hire date, not the termination date. So employers have been paying into this unemployment as long as the person or individual has been hired. So when these companies open up again, or when they get back into business, they have to choose, are they going to keep this person that's getting all these benefits that may or may not have to be returned and paid for by the business owner, or will they have to terminate to not have to pay unemployment benefits on this individual that they had to temporarily lay off, I guess would be the term. So
sure.
It's a very tricky situation. However, the small business owners are going to be in a big financial rut, because if they are determined to be able to function at full capacity, that is when the rent is due. That is when the water is due. That is when everything is due, and you have people to take into consideration that are going to be accumulating in your shop, in your bar, that maybe carriers showing no symptoms. It's a lot to take in. Hence, I think this is more of a financial versus a good idea.
Dr. Berger, also, just because a governor or a leader states that something is a good idea, is it a good idea to go outside right now and sit in a populated place for more than an hour?
I will say this. It's not the brightest idea, but there haven't been very many bright ideas for the past 4 years from a person in leadership, or several people in leadership, I should say. But at this point, I would say that if you're going to go out, you need to keep practicing the social distancing that you've been doing. Do not go out and start kissing everybody and hugging everyone face to face just because you miss human interaction, because people are still the same. They're horrible drivers. They'll stab you in the back, call you pretty to your face, and then tell you you're ugly to everyone else. I would say if you're going to go out, be smart. Don't stay in an area for too long surrounded by people that are constantly talking, hacking along, or just screaming and shouting, because all that beef and all that wetness, it attracts a virus. It do. So go out, have fun in the woods by yourself, 6 feet from other people. That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm just concerned, going back to what you said about the small business owner, if the small business owner hadn't had time to correctly do all of the paperwork to facilitate money, of course, to the furloughed employees, to utilities, food. There was so much food, Dr. Berger, that was given to the needy. That's what they were doing to help. One, because the food would spoil, correct?
Correct.
And so they were out, you know, helping those that were genuinely hungry and in need. Dr. Berger, how are they going to operate at full capacity? Is there going to be some sort of mandate, like you just said? Are all tables going to be 6 to 8 feet apart? How are the business owners going to get their revenue back after the loans have been exhausted or taken away when they reopen?
So there's this little subject called hope. So many people rely on this hope to get by. So they hope that when they open, that the money that comes in will help supply all that. However, when we go back to economics, there is that issue of supply and demand. So if the people are demanding their life back, especially in the state of Georgia, all at once in your store or in all the other stores, the supply is not there. The supply is, well, it's a bit delayed. It's a bit taken back. For example, the toilet paper is slowly coming back to the shelves. I don't think that the T-bone steak medium rare with the mashed potatoes and vegetables on the side is going to be available for everybody at once. There is going to be a slow improvement, and people are still going to get iffy and touchy. And then we go back to the human psyche. They just want that normalcy. They want to feel that liberty, that freedom that was taken away. Well, they're going to be in pain because it doesn't come automatically. Nine, it's going to take, maybe at least 3 new moons.
So you're saying approximately about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the stimulus checks that are being issued. Why the amount of $1,200?
It takes a lot of thinking that why 1,200 and why not a round number like our friends up north that did the 2,000, or our friends to the east that did like 2,200. Why 1,200? Well, there seems to be a common misconception that people can live off of 1,200 for, they didn't say how long, because nobody knew when the states would open up. No one knew if they would get approved for their unemployment benefits. So perhaps these people were thinking that $1,200 is going to last forever. And it's not. $1,200 at minimum, unless you live in a cardboard box, which of course supplies a shelter. $1,200 when you take into consideration what you pay. Your car note, the mortgage, your children if they're still growing or if they're not fully sedated. You know, there's a lot of stuff that you take into consideration, your bills. And at $1,200, not many cities still have that amount of pay. You're talking, you know, over where the grass is blue or the Virginia of the West, you know, in those little areas that may still have those kind of moments. But $1,200, that ain't not. That is for, you know, at minimum 2 weeks of a month.
And Dr. Berger, not having the government education, the economic education that you have, my question is, why was Donald Trump's signature made on the paper checks from the IRS? I've never seen a presidential signature on a paper checks. Now, truth be known, I've had direct deposit for several years, but when I did receive any kind of check from the IRS, it did not have a presidential seal or signature. Am I correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Well, you know, we've all come to realize there's only one kind of check that he will not put his signature on, and this form of hush money he will put his signature on. $1,200 is enough, but $130,000 check, he won't do that.
So you're saying that some checks do deserve a presidential signature and others deserve Michael Cohen's signature?
Yeah, that is exactly what I am saying.
And speaking of the president, Dr. Berger, this is very serious. The president gave some indication, let's call it an indication, that a disinfectant can kill any virus, any kind of bacteria within 60 seconds. So one should consider injecting said disinfectant.
That is a very, very good point to bring up, and a very sad state of affairs that we have in this United States. What I will say is that perhaps his English teacher visited him and told him the breakdown of the word disinfectant. Infectant is an organism that infects, and a dis is, well, you know, it's someone that it could eliminate the infectant individual. So perhaps with that brace hand that he has no longer been putting on him, his brain cells have completely dissolved and unable to multiply. Is that the disinfectant does not mean that you put the fabuloso into your veins, swallow it into your mouth. No, you don't do that. Hence the warnings on the labels of everything that you put under the sink. It says, do not inject. And then it has that cute little poison control with the tongue out. And the phone number that goes with it, the poison control. So no, do not ingest. Do not inject. Do not bathe yourself in disinfectants. 9.
And what about UV light, Dr. Berger? I had heard at certain hospitals that after hearing the president state that UV light would be effective to kill the virus once it is inside the human host. Dr. Berger, are some patients insisting to be moved to different areas with natural UV light or asking for UV light lamps to be placed over them in order to kill the virus?
Yeah. So there is a lot of talk about these ultraviolet rays that they help with the coronavirus. Well, I will say this, that the rays from any kind of ultraviolet light may help the babies if they have the ova of the hyperglobulinemia. I'm not a baby doctor, but when the babies have a lot of a particular kind of material in their body turns yellow. So we treat them under a little lamp to help kind of eliminate that color or that overabundance of material. Perhaps he was talking to his friend at the shop, Doc Tan, but the ultraviolet beds on for a long extended time is not good for your skin. The ultraviolet rays of natural sunlight have known to cause or help cause cancer. And there are people, unfortunately, with my colleagues down in Texas here, that have texted me saying that there are people that are specifically asking to be in a room with more UV light, or if they could bring the UV light in. It's not such a great idea. I am unsure if the next person is going to walk in with a Kaspersky antivirus and ask if they should shove it up their bum to help with the virus, but these state of affairs, these ideas, it's absolute balderdash.
So, Dr. Berger, the health officials besides yourself that America has been looking to for answers and for advice is Dr. Fauci and also Dr. Brix. But they seem to be giving two different opinions. First of all, Dr. Berger, who should we listen to over the other, and why do they have differing opinions?
Well, this is the common battle in medicine. Hence, the reason for the study is peer-reviewed articles over scientific matter is that there must be some discussion. And discussion, you always go to the experts. And who determines the experts? Who elects the experts? And what makes these experts experts? Now, with our friend Dr. Fauci, he has had some, I would say, very hefty experience when dealing with a virus outbreak. The man has had involvement in the Ebola. The man has had involvement in various numerous things. And all of this can be found in a library with a book, or you can go online at respectable websites that give off this information, as well as our friend Dr. Brix. Now, what we have here, we have differencing of opinions. Opinions are like bum holes, they say. They could be brown, but they're always hidden and dark and mysterious. So with these opinions, when they conflict, there has to be an individual that chooses the opinion that he or she prefers. So in this case, we have a hotelier in chief that is selecting which opinion he prefers. And if it's the opinion that strokes his ego, of course he's going to go with that one, because like any other person, we like to have our ego stroke, among other things on our body. But that is what's going on. It is a common deal in science that there are differing opinions, but we will all find out eventually that the person who has the most experience, the person who is the most scientific on his studies, on his research, will ultimately be the person that is correct in their theory, but also in their practice and putting that theory into practice, especially here during the pandemic.
So you're saying, Dr. Berger, one is statistician and the other is a stroker.
Statistician, but a stroke.
And Dr. Berger, getting back to the money aspect of COVID, so many have been trying to gouge and raise prices during this horrific crisis. Have you heard anything about certain medical institutions claiming that patient deaths were coronavirus related, when in fact they were that of cardiovascular, renal? Have you heard anything about hospitals getting paid more to call deaths coronavirus related?
Yeah, there is this lovely conspiracy website called globalresearch.ca that has said that doctors and all the physicians around the world in the country, but I will focus on the United States, that they are playing the game, that if they were to report that the coronavirus was the cause of the death, they get the money. Now, I will say this. When I'm doing the research, there is word that Medicare is providing more money to individuals that are on a ventilator with the COVID-19. Perhaps that they cannot use the ventilator again. Perhaps that ventilator has already worked its capacity. I will say that the wording is fluxed. It is messed up. It is switched. That yes, they're getting more money from the Medicare because the COVID-19 that require ventilatory status or an intensive care status that require a different kind of treatment, a different kind of room, a different kind of intensivist that cares for these intense patients. So if these COVID patients were the medicine people say on the floor or ambulatory unit, perhaps they're not getting very much money because, well, they're doing fine. They're not critical status and they could probably go home and be quarantined at home. It all deals with how medicine works. The more sick you are, the more your insurance will support you. Well, it's dependent nowadays. But yes, the Medicare will continue to pay with the level of the care as long as there is proof that shows that the individual required the care. With this COVID-19, there are many opportunities to take advantage of these conspiracies. But once you get in touch with an individual who lives through it, one person that you can trust in the thick of all this, you will understand that the stories are not true. They are embellished from facts, made to sensationalize and entertain.
So, Dr. Berger, with all of the gougers and all of the bad, there's still a lot of good going on with our heroes in the medical community, our heroes in all the essential industries. How can one stay safe now that pretty much all of the supplies are dwindling? Is it still the same thing that we've been trying to reach out to people? Is it still washing your hands? Is that the best way that you know of so far?
Yeah, that has been proven from the beginning of nursing. Cleanliness will take you far. You must keep your hands clean. Now, with the supply dwindling, there is supply of soap. Now, soap comes in many forms, the bath soap, the liquid soap, the hand soap. What I say is that if there is one thing that you must keep on hand is always soap. You don't need the antibacterial wash because soap has done far more for society than this alcoholic antibacterial soap that is this cute little bottle hanging from your purse or cute little bottle hanging from your bag. It works, yeah. Don't get anything wrong. But if there is one thing that you must keep, soap and water have been a very, very good combination in the battle of any infectious process.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Berger, on that note, is there any hand-washing song that you would like to leave us with this week?
Oh, hand-washing song? Well, let's see. Yes, from one of the best girl groups of most recent time. You could count up to 20. You don't have to go to work, 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 but you got to do the work, 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 and repeat that one. Yeah, good catchy tune.
Well, Dr. Berger, I hope you will join us next week via phone for our COVID catch-up.
Yeah, this is quite a beautiful program you have, and I love coming and chatting about death and virus. Exciting.
Dr. Berger, thank you.
This has been Elocution with your host, Ello Black.